Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Let's Watch Podcast. I'm your host, James, with my co-host, Carolyn.
I'm still here.
Yep, I guess. and today, we are talking about the biggest news of the week. The Oscar nominations finally came out, although it's over like a month before the actual awards, so they give you of time to watch these movies that are not available for you to watch currently, but they should be shortly. And I will let Carolyn pick which category we talk about. I figured we'd only cover the big ones.
The important
probably
ones.
Not going to talk about the shorts or anything, or like any of the production categories, honestly.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, why don't we start? Let's start with, I don't know, actor.
Actor? Which one?
All of them.
But which supporting?
The men.
Men.
Them boys.
Supporting or main?
The lead boys.
The lead boys? Okay. The nominees for that are Javier Bardem for Being the Ricardos. Gross. Haven't seen it, but gross. Bendy Cumberwub for The Power of the Dog. Andrew Garfield for Tick, Tick, Boom. Will Smith for King Richard. And Denzel Washington for The Tragedy of Macbeth. Now, we've seen three of these films.
Yep.
And we'll probably definitely see at least one more. I doubt we'll watch Being the Ricardos.
I mean, maybe. There's a lot of... unfortunately, there's a lot of nominations. I don't really have an interest in seeing that, but it is nominated for three different acting categories. So, and it's available for free on Prime. So maybe, if there's time.
Yeah, maybe if there's time. It's definitely one that's pushed for later. Mm-hmm. But I think... I mean, what we said is that I agree with, obviously, Benedict Cumberbatch.
Mm-hmm.
As somebody who did not like him, but then thought he was incredible in The Power of the Dog, and that The Power of the Dog seems to be, I would guess, the favorite, considering it got, like, everything nominated.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Like, even Jesse Plemons got nominated, which I think
yes. And the Cody Smith McPhee?
Yeah, but the Jesse Plemons one, I think, is the sign of being like, oh, I guess they really loved it, because his part is so tiny and so subtle.
That's the thing, and everyone's like, oh, his first nomination. And I'm like, I mean, sure. Do I like Jesse Plemons? Yes, I do. Does this make sense to me? No, it doesn't. But that said, Power of the Dog got 12 nominations.
Tied for the most, right?
Sorry?
Tied for the most.
No, they have the most. Dune has 10.
Hmm. Okay.
Because Dune has less acting nominations. I don't know if Dune has any acting nominations.
It doesn't. Although that movie isn't really an acting movie.
Yeah. Whereas Power of the Dog has 4 acting nominations.
Yes. And Power of the Dog also got director, and Dune did not.
Yeah. Actually, Power of the Dog has many, many first-time nominations for Kirsten Dunst, and then obviously Jesse Plemons and Cody Smith McPhee as well. First-time nominations for all those folks.
Right. Cumberbatch was nominated for when he played Alan Turing or whatever in that
yes,
terrible movie.
Because that was also nominated for Best Picture.
And Jane Campion has been nominated before for a director for mm-hmm. The Piano?
I think she's the first I don't want to say that. I was gonna say she's the first woman to get nominated twice for that category, but I could be wrong about that.
I mean, she might be. I guess it would be either her or Bigelow, right?
Yeah, has Catherine Bigelow been nominated twice?
I don't know if she got nominated before The Hurt Locker. She hasn't been nominated since. I know that, but she could have been before.
I don't think she was before, because there was only, when Greta Gerwig got nominated, there was only 5 women who had ever been nominated for Best Director. And now it's, as of last year, it was 7. And then so I guess now it's 8.
Well, it's still 7. Because one woman's been nominated twice.
Nice, so. That's true. You are right. And yes, it was The Piano.
Yeah. I think Andrew Garfield is deserving as well. And I think that is the appropriate nominations for that movie, is being none of it didn't get nominated anywhere else in the major ones. Thankfully, mm-hmm. thank God, because that rest mm-hmm. of that movie is not at his level. But he's incredible in that film.
Yeah, he's really good.
And I could see him winning. Like, I have no idea who's going to win. I'm going to go out on a limb and say it's not going to be Javier Bardem. But any of the other 4
yeah.
wouldn't be that surprised. Like, I think if either Cumberbatch or Garfield get it, they're deserving, because both of those performances are career best for them.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
It's hard. We haven't seen King Richard yet.
Haven't seen it, but it definitely feels like it's time for Will Smith.
Isn't it weird to think that Will Smith, used to be the Fresh Prince and in iRobot and stuff like that? Like, when did he become taken seriously.
I guess. Well, he's always had the ability to act. Will Smith has always just been more concerned with being like a movie star. And now that he can't really, not every movie he does is going to be like a box office hit. He's had to like pivot to more. And as he's aged, like I guess he just physically also can't just be like an action star anymore, maybe.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting because you're right. He was a movie star in an era where movie stars were like the big thing, right? Like people would go because it was a Will Smith movie. And people do that now, but mainly because those people are talented, not because it's just like the star, the celebrity,
and which is all very new property. At the
time. Yeah. But it's interesting because he also has gone through a lot in his personal life. And I feel like now he just, even when I see him smiling, he just has this sadness in him. And I'm like, ah, that'll make you act.
Entanglements, maybe. I'm interested to see that movie. Because I from what I've heard about it, I think they did it in the least interesting way. But I bet he's good in it, because if it is a movie about a man who has like is very charismatic and like is a force of nature and very good at like driving people, that is like perfect for Will Smith. And like maybe pushing your children to be famous when they're young, that has negative effects on them, like Richard Williams did with his daughters. Although the true story with Richard Williams and his daughters is, I mean, it's a movie. It's going to be softened. And the sisters are involved. Like Venus and Serena are involved with the making of that film. So there's probably certainly going to be some stuff that is softened, let's say. But if anybody knows the real truth about that story, is that he ruined the relationship between him and his daughters by how hard he was on them to make them, to like propel their careers forward in tennis. And it's up for debate if like, I guess it's your opinion if you believe that it's because of him they turned out exactly the way they did, or like were they going to be great and he pushed them very hard to like guarantee that, but like ruined the relationship and permanently damaged them. Like that's what I'm interested to see if that movie actually does. And I doubt it, because it's a Will Smith movie.
I know. Are we being unfair when we write it off as a Will Smith movie, you know?
I just don't ever see, he's the man who turned down Django, right? Because it was too extreme. Like it was too making too unlikable in parts.
Yeah, he's not terribly boundary pushing, is he?
No, but we'll see. I don't. We haven't seen the movie, so I legitimately don't know. And then if like it's Denzel, right? Like he's great in everything, and he's great in The Tragedy of Macbeth. I doubt he wins because the others are more interesting narrative wise. Other than it would be like Denzel's got his third Oscar, and he's like one of the few that has three Oscars, and like yes, he deserves it. And but I just doubt it happens for him, honestly.
I'm really excited to see him pout when he loses again.
Well, we'll know if he's like pouting if he expected that he had a chance to win. Otherwise, he might just be there and be like, yeah, I'm here to have a good time, right?
He never looks like he's there to have a good time, though. Like, even when he doesn't expect to win.
He's an old man. He's probably like, I'd rather be doing something else. That's if I'm not winning, why? He might not show up if he's not winning. That might be what he does. Like
when
Anthony
he expects
Hopkins.
To win, he shows up and looks grumpy. When he doesn't win, when he doesn't expect to win, he looks like, why did I have to come here?
Exactly. But now with like COVID, even though I'm sure he's boosted and everything, he might not show up because he's just like, eh, they're not going to give it to me. Whatever. And then they'll give it to him and it will just be his photo and they'll end the show again. Like they did with Anthony Hopkins instead.
That was so awkward.
Instead of Chadwick. They got owned. They built up for this emotional moment and they got owned and it was so good.
Yeah.
So the nominees for supporting actor, just to wrap up the rest of the men. Ciarán Hinds for Belfast, which we haven't seen. Troy Kotsur for Coda, which we have. Jesse Plemons and Cody Smith-McPhee from The Power of the Dog. And then J.K. Simmons from Being the Ricardos Gross.
Which is four first-time nominees in this category. The only one who's been nominated before for Academy Awards is J.K. Simmons.
And he's won, so...
Yes, that is true. This is the first time a deaf male actor has ever been nominated in Troy Kotsur in Coda. Fun fact.
Yeah, and now I haven't seen Belfast... So, which we will see. We're definitely going to watch Belfast, considering it's been nominated for a bunch of stuff.
A bunch, yeah.
Even though it's directed by Kenneth Branagh, a bad director. The man only makes good movies that are Shakespearean. That's it. Everything else he's ever done is bad. I'm right on this. Do not question my opinion. This is a fact.
I'm trying to think if I've seen any other Kenneth Branagh movies.
He did. Oh, he's I done the sure two. He did like what's the new one coming out? Death on the Nile, and the previous one that was like Inspector Clouseau or whatever.
Murder on Orient Express.
Yes, He did that. He's done a bunch. He's very prolific.
He's also acted in a bunch of things. I think I recognize him as an actor more than.
Yes, he is also an actor. And I think he's a fine actor. He's kind of like a whatever actor to me.
He's been in a ton of stuff. Oh, it's this guy.
He's been in it. He's a very prolific creator. But honestly, the person who I think is, or at least who I would give this to, is they're probably not going to give it to J.K. Simmons. We haven't seen the movie either, but he's also won before. And there doesn't really feel to be much around that film, honestly.
No, it seems to be an actor's movie, but even though it's an actor's movie, it's like an actor's nomination movie. No one's like, that is the performance of the year. Like, this is not The Wife, you know?
What is The Wife?
I mean, I don't even think she won that year.
No, she didn't. She was supposed to, and Olivia Colman beat her. Right. And all of us were like, well, I guess we didn't need to watch that movie. It was a joke for us of like, what is The Wife? Nobody's seen this movie. You watched it. I never did. And Jesse Plemons, I think, is, it's insane that he got, it's incredible that he got nominated, but it like, if they're going to give it to a supporting performance on that movie, it's going to be Cody Smith McPhee. But I honestly think Troy Kotsur is the favorite to win.
I hope so. I loved him in that movie.
He's so good in that movie. And he definitely has like the Oscar scenes where it's like he gets to have the emotional moments that will like pull on your heartstrings. Mm-hmm. And I think he's like, I think honestly, like, and maybe Ciarán Hinds in Belfast is also incredible, but I wouldn't be shocked if he won. Like, that's like, and Carol and I do not know anything about this. We're just going off of like what we feel.
And we haven't even seen half these movies, so.
Exactly. But that's kind of like what I feel too, is that also it's crazy that it's taken this long for, this is the first, what, deaf male to be nominated for an Academy Award.
Yep.
Now, they generally do, like, that's where I lie, and now, of course, we'll all be wrong, and, like, the moment I look at, like, the insiders and being like, J.K. Simmons has the inside track on Best Supporting Actor, and it's like, let me actually Google, also, there's so much time between now and the actual Oscars.
Yep, a lot can change, big Oscar campaigns. It's,
because the voting is, what, start of March?
Something like that. It's interesting, Marley Matlin was the mom in that movie, correct?
Who's won an Oscar.
Yes, and I think that she's maybe the only deaf female to ever have been nominated, but it is very cool that you know, she's an Oscar winner and now he's an Oscar nominee. It really shows that there's not a lot of opportunities for deaf and hard of hearing folks in film.
Okay, so I pulled up the odds from gambling, and this I think is a good idea to look at.
Is this gold
just
derby?
To figure out, like, these people will know, right? Like, they'll have insiders, and at least this is what the public thinks who will win. And for the categories we've covered, I'll start with supporting, because that's what we're talking about right now. Cody Smith McPhee is the favorite, and Troy Kotsur is second favorite. Mm-hmm. Cody Smith McPhee is, like, pretty heavily favored to win that category, actually. Sure. And then for best actor, Will Smith is favored, and then Benedict Cumberbatch is after him. But it's, like, but Will Smith is pretty heavily favored, and then everybody else is, like, like, the two we said that were long shots are, like, huge long shots.
But that said, I mean, everything can change. You're right. There's, like, a month and a half until this thing. And, like, this is when the big Academy Awards pushes happen. And also, a lot of these movies haven't even come out yet.
Yeah, the vast majority. I mean, all of the voters should have seen them by now.
100%. But once the public starts seeing them and they start being in the media and you know, the internet, like, once people in the public start caring about them, these celebrities and Academy voters don't live in a vacuum, right? Like, they will be influenced by the discussions that surround them because the public has seen them.
Yeah, and there's definitely been, I mean, they vote on them in March, don't they? Like, so when the final votes are due, is 2 to 3 weeks before the actual event. So they definitely have time to change, and like, people can be campaigning, and some people will watch movies they haven't seen yet, and they'll change their votes, as is wont to happen. And also, people might just legitimately change their votes because they're like, I've changed my mind, which is fine. But also, there'll be big pushes. Like, I wouldn't, like, I think it's the right, I would, like, I think the, if you told me that Will Smith won Best Actor this year, I would be like, that's what I expected, honestly.
Yeah.
And it would be like, yes, but it probably wasn't the best performance that Will Smith has ever done or compared to people he's against. But this is more of like, hey, we missed your actual best performance, so take this one.
And I hate that it comes down to that. I hate that it, I mean, Yes, I hate that it's partly a popularity contest. It's partly a paying your dues. I wish all of these movies did exist in a vacuum and people could evaluate them based on if they liked the performance and like their personal taste.
Yeah, but I just want you to be emotionally prepared when they do this for Tom Cruise and Mark Wahlberg.
I really don't like the idea of people who I think of in my brain as like action stars feeling like they are owed Academy Awards, because to me that's the exact opposite of who should be getting Academy Awards.
No, it should just legitimately be whoever the best performance is in, regardless of the film. Like last year should have been Jason Statham in The Wrath of Man.
No, great movie. But great movie. It's interesting because people like Tom Cruise, I think of him as a straight up action star. That's all I think of him as. That said, we've seen a lot of movies where he doesn't play that. Yeah, and a weirdo, but in terms of his acting. But like in his early career, he did a lot of movies that weren't that. But yeah, he became an action star. And now he's been around for so long that you're right. If one day they give him an Academy Award, it won't be because of his recent work. It'll be nothing to do with his recent work. It'll be like, oh, back in the day, you used to actually be good. And now you're kind of, you run a lot in your movies and that's it, you know? And like, and that's, to me, that doesn't show growth of career. That doesn't show someone who's earned it. It shows someone who's been around a long time. And so we should grease their palms, you know?
Or it will be a thing where like when Tom Cruise inevitably does do another just straight up drama film, which he will. And they'll be like, and everyone will be like, wow, Tom Cruise was like actually good in that because it's not an action movie and it like requires more stretching. Not to say he's great in his action films. Like Tom Cruise is a good action actor.
Yeah.
He runs weird, which is, it's a thing I'll never get over. But he's like, like the reason the Mission Impossible movies work is partly because of him, right? Yeah. Is that it's also, we know he's willing to do those crazy stunts and that's like his whole thing. And it's like I mean, if anybody's seen old Tom Cruise movies, there's certainly been movies that you've been like, wow, he's like really talented in this film. And he definitely tried to win an Oscar, I mean, with Eyes Wide Shut, which I actually think wouldn't have been crazy if he won an Oscar for that movie, because I thought he was quite good in it.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't happen. And he tried for a couple of years. He's like, okay, fine, fuck this. I'll just go be a giant movie star and make a bunch of money. Like, yeah. At least, like, I think with that, at least, like, he's kind of being honest with what he's doing, what he wants to do, which is like, but and he's made it work for him, and it's good. It's like, I'd rather have that than the Leo.
We can't say that someone made this great movie 20 years ago and should have been nominated then, but they weren't because we didn't know who they were. Again, that in itself is a problem. Nominate them because they're good, not because you know who they are. And then all of a sudden, you're right, he might make one movie and everyone will be like, oh, he was good. Remember when he did this thing 20 years ago? And it's like, yeah, but what about all the stuff he did in between? Like, you know?
Yeah, like, I don't think it would have been insane for him to have been nominated for one of the Mission Impossible movies. Like, I think you do. I really love those films, and I think he was quite really good in the last one. I don't think it would have been crazy.
I mean, sure, but what is required of an actor in action movies is very different, and I think the audience is not the same. You know what I mean?
I know we're getting completely sidetracked, but would you have thought it would have been insane if they nominated Downey Jr. for Best Actor for the first Iron Man?
Yes.
Really? You thought that you would think that was insane? Now we get, not looking back on hindsight of being like, well, that actually turned out to be like really important.
I mean, if he had been nominated at the time, I would have thought it was really weird because it's a superhero movie. And there can be, and like, this is a bias, yes. There can be great acting in those movies, but it's not like a serious movie, you know?
Fair enough. I mean, I do think there are performances in action movies that could be nominated. Mostly it's the villains. Yes. They get to have the most fun. I'm definitely not advocating for being like, the most popular is the best, because that's never true.
Mm-hmm.
It's the greatest. Should Spider-Man have been nominated? Should Spider-Man have been nominated as one of the 10 best movies and best picture? Yeah, if I'm looking at it objectively, there are movies that have been nominated that I think are worse than Spider-Man. But also, Spider-Man made a bunch of money, so it's fine.
Mm-hmm, yep.
If we're really asking ourselves seriously, is Spider-Man the best movie that came out last year? No. Would it win Best Picture? No, so it doesn't matter if it's not there, honestly. Like, it has no chance to win. Why do you care about it being nominated for the Oscars, really? It's kind of where I end up on. It's like I kind of end up on the same thing with you for the superhero stuff there. It's like, They get to cry their tears into buckets of money. They'll be fine.
Yeah, no, definitely.
They win the more important thing, in that it's financial success for movies. And like, if you told me Like, also, like, this is, we're completely sidetracked here, but like, are the five best male lead performances those five, or five best supporting performances those five? No.
No.
There are other films that have nominations here that have better performances by actors in them, and they're not nominated, but it's all narrative. And that's partly why we love this, is because they're infuriating. Mm-hmm. And you'll always get the moments where they think Chadwick is going to win his posthumous Oscar, and then it's a picture of Anthony Hopkins comes up on screen, and then they roll credits.
Yeah, that was incredibly awkward. Awkward, oh my God. Awkward, yes.
But do you want to talk about the ladies, or is there anything else you want to say about the men?
No, let's talk about the ladies. While we're in supporting, let's hit the supporting ladies. So we have Jessie Buckley from The Lost Daughter, first-time nominee. Ariana DeBose from West Side Story, also first-time.
Who is that? I have no idea who that is.
I think it's the chick who plays Maria. I think this is the first movie that she's been in.
What?
Well, not the first movie, but I mean, like, she's definitely not anyone famous, you know?
Okay, good for her.
Judi Dench from Belfast, obviously not a first-time nominee. Kristen Dunst,
Excuse me, Dame Judi Dench.
Dame Judi Dench. Kristen Dunst, Power of the Dog, as we said, everyone got nominated from that. And Anjanue Ellis from King Richard, also first time.
Yes.
She must play the mom.
That would be my assumption as well, right? The age would fit at least.
Yeah.
Now, the only two we have seen are Jessie Buckley and Kirsten Dunst. I have not seen West Side Story. I am upset that I'm going to have to see West Side Story.
I did think that Jessie Buckley and Kirsten Dunst were both great.
I love them both. Like, I said that Jessie Buckley was the best part of The Lost Daughter. And I have the odds up right now, and the favorite to win is Ariana DeBose, which fits with what they like to do with supporting actors, is like the new ingenue wins a lot of the time. And then Kirsten Dunst is the second favorite, and everybody else is a long shot. Like, Judi Dench and Jessie Buckley are like extreme long shots, which I think is the right assumption. And my guess is that Ariana DeBose will win. Even though I haven't seen the movie, but she's kind of been anointed, it seems like, as like the new actor, like the new thing. Oh, I know. Okay, I figured out. She's from Hamilton.
Who?
Ariana DeBose.
Really?
Yep. She plays
she plays the bullet, right?
I've never seen Hamilton. I hate Hamilton. I hate theater. It's all bad. But she's a theater actor. Like, I'm reading her credits right now. She was in Hairspray, Bring It On, Motown the Musical, Hamilton, Les Mis, A Bronx Tale.
And I nailed it. She plays the bullet.
Yep, she does play the bullet. And she is got... I mean, I bet she's great in West Side Story. I haven't seen it.
Because it's a musical.
Also, because Steven Spielberg only wants that movie in theaters, because it's time to go back to theaters, according to Steven Spielberg. Which may be my coloring of my opinion on that film already. Who knows? Who can say? I'm not vindictive. I just have no opinion on it. But I would... You know, I love Kirsten Dunst, and I would like to see her win an Oscar. And I think she's incredible in The Power of the Dog. She's so good. The reason why Benedict Cumberbatch's performance has worked so well is because of her performance is equal to his.
Yeah.
Like, neither of them is up to the task there. That movie doesn't work. She's really, really good. And I also love Jessie Buckley, and I'm very excited for her, a movie Carolyn will hate, because it's an A24 film and she hates them.
I don't always.
That's very where it's a horror film by Alex Garland called Men.
It sounds like,
and it stars Jessie Buckley, and I think she's being tortured, like a man might be like doing something bad to her. Anyway, I'm very excited for that film. But that's kind of, like, again, it's just hard to say if Ariana DeBose is the favorite. Like, I can't really say anything because I haven't seen the movie.
Yeah, that's all we got on that one. So, actress.
We should say that the nominees for this category are very diverse.
Yes, they always are for Best Supporting, I've noticed. And there's always a lot of new people that are nominated that we often don't see again.
Is that because that's more likely where they get the roles?
Yep, that 100%. Always the bridesmaid, never the bride.
Best actress. There's going to hold on to everybody. There's going to be a name in here that there might be an audible reaction from one of us.
Nope.
I will not read them. I'll read them in the way that the betting market favors them right now, which is kind of crazy to me when I'm reading this, because this is not what I thought it was going to be.
Is it Nicole Kidman and Olivia Colman tied for first?
Nicole Kidman. They don't, there's no, according to the odds, there's nobody who's like a, the odds are like plus and minus means they're like heavily, like they're a favorite, and plus means they're an underdog, essentially, is a real rough summary. There's nobody in the minus for this category. So they legitimately don't know. Mm-hmm. But the favorite is Nicole Kidman from Being the Ricardos. Gross. Kristen Stewart for Spencer, mm-hmm. who I'm shocked was nominated and is somehow the second favorite, considering she was nominated for nothing else in any of the other award shows. She didn't get a BAFTA, she didn't get a SAG, and somehow she's the second favorite to win Best Actress. Mm-hmm. Although I'm not upset about that. That's, I'd be totally 1,000% fine if Casey won for Spencer. It would blow my mind, but here we are. Olivia Colman for The Lost Daughter. Jessica Chastain for The Eyes of Tammy Faye, a movie I will not watch. And Penelope Cruz for Parallel Mothers, who yep. is a long shot. The other four are basically even odds.
Which is interesting. I mean, I get it, because Nicole Kidman and Jessica Chastain both play real people, and the Academy likes that.
They do, and a physical transformation.
Well, pretty girls looking kind of strange.
They had a weird haircut and wore a lot of makeup.
100%. I think Jessica Chastain also had some sort of cheek something.
Yeah, she had prosthetics put on, yes.
Yeah. Which I will say, in this category, Kristen Stewart is the first queer actor to be nominated since 2002, which was Ian McKellen for The Lord of the Rings. So good job for her.
Sorry. Sir Ian McKellen?
I don't think he was a sir at the time.
He is now. How dare you not? Out of all, I'm more upset about this than the Dame Judi Dench one, because, as you said, Ian McKellen is, you know, a queer actor, and he played Gandalf, okay? Mm-hmm. And also, he's lovely. Who doesn't like him?
He does seem like a very nice guy.
He's just an old gay man. he's just living his life.
Yeah, so this category will be really interesting. I think it'll end up being... Yeah, perhaps. I think that'll be like the one, we didn't, like that movie had several acting nominations and we didn't vote it in for anything else. So I think it might be kind of the throwaway one. Also, I feel like it's the more fun of the two roles.
Bet she's having a ton of fun because it's a Sorkin script. So she'll get to like chew on it a lot.
Yeah.
But I have a question for you.
Indeed.
I'm going to exclude Penelope Cruz and Jessica Chastain from this. Mm-hmm. I love both of them, but I just don't think they are going to win. Even though Jessica Chastain is like close to the other ones, I don't see it, honestly. Although I would love a Penelope Cruz one. I think that'd be great, even though I haven't seen Parallel Mothers. But I think if that was like, hey, this is a makeup Oscar, it'd be like, yeah, of course, she's like a legend. Do Nicole Kidman and Olivia Colman, do they deserve a second Oscar? It's weird. Okay, this is, I don't want to insult Olivia Colman because I love her and I think she's incredible in everything. Mm-hmm. And every movie that she's like, when she won for, I can't remember what she won for, but she's great in that. And then she was nominated for being in The Favorite, and she's great in that. And I was like, I wouldn't have been upset if she won there either. But it's like she became the Oscar darling all of
a
sudden.
Didn't she win for The Favorite?
No, she won for the one before The Favorite, didn't she? She was nominated for The Favorite, but didn't win. She won one before The Favorite.
No, she won for The Favorite.
She did?
Yeah, that was the one that like blew everyone away, like it surprised everyone.
She's totally deserving of winning in that. I would thought like that's, she's great in that film and she's great in everything.
Yeah, she was nominated for, she won The Favorite. She was nominated for The Father and now nominated for The Lost Daughter.
And she's great in all three of those films and they're drastically different roles and shows her range. And, but doesn't it feel like it's too soon for her to win another Oscar? They don't do this. This would be like the only other person they did this was Mahershala Ali, who was deserving, but it was so weird that they gave him a second one so quickly.
Yes, I think that maybe if you're best supporting one year, you can be upgraded the next year to best.
Or like you flip them. Like you can get exactly. both, but you can't get the same category twice.
Yeah, because you're right. It does seem very, very recent.
2 out of 3? Like that's, I mean.
That's too much, yeah. And it was only 3 years ago. Like The Favorite was 2019.
Also like, she's great in Lost Daughter, but she's not the best performance in that movie. Mm-hmm. And she's not the best performance on this list.
Yep, because Kristen Stewart is.
I mean, yes. Also, there's nothing more than I want in my life. I need this to happen.
The problem is, in this one, it might be the case of the nomination was the win. I think that Spencer might be too weird of a movie.
Well, the British
for
didn't
people
like
to
it.
Get behind. That's true. It might be too weird, but also there are a lot of people of the age that adore Diana, and I don't know if that'll work in her favor or not. It might, because people might be like, "Oh yeah, she nailed the mannerisms," or they might be like, "I love Diana, and you showed us the dark side, and I like to live under a rock."
Yes. How dare we, you know, realize that she had a difficult life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Voters, listen to me, a white man, explain to you why you should vote for Kristen Stewart.
Please.
Just think of the award speech. How awkward it would be. Oh, I need that in my life. How can we not have Kristen Stewart giving an Oscar speech of winning, of her being like completely frazzled and not knowing what to do? The amount of ums we will hear will be catastrophic.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be perfect. Also, everyone would love her because of doing that, because she'd be relatable. And Kristen Stewart is very popular right now. And she legitimately is the best performance on the list, so, because, and she's deserving from her career arc. If we're doing like, I know you shouldn't take this in, but like the buildup of like her whole, like she started off in the Twilight movies, which she's bad in. And those movies are bad.
Bad scripts, though. Bad.
Yeah,
scripts.
It's not her fault. It's none of the actors in that movie, other than Taylor Lautner, it's not their fault.
Yeah.
It's Taylor Lautner's fault. And like, it's her and Arpats, because they've kind of been like, they've been, their careers are essentially tied together from those movies and because they dated. But like their whole like thing of like, they did Twilight and they both like went down and like did these small indie foreign films and like slowly built themselves back up into being like A-list movie stars that are known for being movie stars and incredible actors. It's like, mm-hmm. this is where like her, this is like the story arc of when like Kristen Stewart should win the Oscar.
Yeah.
Nicole Kidman has one. And I haven't seen the movie, but she has an Oscar and she's been nominated a billion times. Olivia Colman won one a couple years ago. She's also incredible. And I'd rather Olivia Colman have another award than Nicole Kidman. And the other two, Jessica Chastain and Penelope Cruz. Does Penelope Cruz have an Oscar? She might?
I think she does for that movie with two girls and a boy.
Okay. Yep. I know what you're talking about completely. I have no idea.
You don't. It's I think Javier Bardem is in it.
I mean, it wouldn't surprise me. Penelope Cruz is that level, but like Jessica Chastain deserves an Oscar. I just don't think this is the year for her, honestly.
Vicky Cristina Barcelona, and she won for it. Yes, I nailed it.
Okay, so Penelope Cruz has won, and as long as shot, she's not winning. Jessica Chastain is the best part of a middling movie. Now they've done it before, but I just feel like this is Jessica Chastain is going to win one in like 5 years in a movie where like this isn't the one, but they've forgotten her for like a decade, so they have to give it to her now.
Yeah.
So it just feels like it's the only the thing that throws me off with this is if K-Stu was nominated for the SAG and for the BAFTA, I think both of us would be like, she's going to win.
Mm-hmm.
But since she was nominated for neither, and now is here, it's throwing us up. But I legitimately think she's going to win. And she deserves it. She's incredible in that movie. And that movie that I was kind of lukewarm on, but she's the best part of.
I don't want to get too excited about it, though. That's
because you have an emotional attachment to her.
I do. I'm a bit invested in this.
Yeah. It's all, if you went like, how many categories? 24? If you went one for 24, but the one you hit right was K-Stu, you'd feel like a winner.
Well, that's the thing. It's one of those things where whenever I'm writing my ballot for the year, I always vote on what I think will win. Not what I want to win, but what I think will win.
Coward. Coward.
Except for Best Picture. Because for Best Picture, I always write what I want to win.
And that usually works.
It does, actually, yeah. but because, like, that's the one category that if I don't go with my heart and my heart wins, then I feel like I've betrayed something. You know what I mean?
No, I agree with you.
And so I feel like when I make my ballot, it's going to be the same for this category. I'm going to have to put down Kristen Stewart because if she wins and I didn't support her, then that bums me right out.
Also because of the contract.
Yeah, that's true too.
Now we haven't seen the other ones, but I just feel like, also Kristen Stewart has been better in other movies other than Spencer, but those movies had zero chance of getting an Academy Award nomination because they were too French, I guess, maybe.
Yeah.
But like, really, if you're not going to do it for this one, like, and she's running, like, that's the other thing is like, she's out doing like shaking the hands, talking to everybody. doing the award circuit stuff to get people to vote for her, which they have to do. She's doing that.
Yeah, she's doing the circuit. And honestly, it is Princess Diana, which I think could work in her favor, right?
It should work in her favor, right? Like, it's not surprising to me that the British didn't like it because...
it doesn't make them look very good.
No, right? And it kind of... the movie is not favorable to the press, even though the press aren't in the movie, but they are not shown in a good light.
No, because everyone kind of blames paparazzi for killing Diana.
I mean, they did.
Her driver was also drunk, but yes, the paparazzi, if they weren't chasing him, they probably would have made it home safe.
Yeah, like they are not innocent in that fact. They hounded her. Like, they also created her negative emotional state as well. Like, they did not help that.
No.
That led her to that place. But anyway, when we do our picks prediction, we'll both be picking K-Stu, even if K-Stu was like a plus 1 million chance to win. We'd be like, we have to.
We have to.
The rules. My heart requires me to pick this one.
That is true.
Also, she's going to be like, well, I was going to say, she might be wearing like a great, she most likely will be wearing a great outfit and she'll look great. But some of her outfits recently have not been good, so I'm worried.
I feel like it's because she might be trying to, like, do the princess thing. Like, you can't look too different than your role when you're doing the press tour for your role, because it freaks people out.
But if she just looked cooler, why not look cool? Why do you have to look like that?
Because she's trying to do this not for us, but for the people who don't like her.
Okay, okay. She doesn't understand, Carolyn.
We have needs.
We have needs. Also, like, she has to know some of those outfits are bad, right?
Who knows? Everyone has a stylist these days.
She does. It's a stylist. It's like, you know, why can't they just let her be in, like, her grungy self?
It's because she's campaigning.
She is campaigning. And I hope it works for her because she deserves it. Also, when everybody else from The Twilight has an Oscar other than Taylor Lautner, this will be funny.
Yep.
Do you want to do director?
I do. I'm looking at director right now.
And then we'll quickly cover the screenplay. I guess we could cover the screenplay ones just by reading what they are. I have like no idea on the screenplay other than that one movie's nominated and it annoys me.
So for director, we have Kenneth Branagh for Belfast. Ryusuke Hamaguchi for Drive My Car. That's the Japanese one that's also nominated for Best International.
Picture.
And Best Picture, yes.
It's going to win.
Paul Thomas, is it going to be the Parasite of the year?
I'm sorry for interrupting this, but all I'll say is Drive My Car is my like most anticipated film. We'll get there when we talk about it.
Okay.
Finish reading. Yeah.
Paul Thomas Anderson for Licorice Pizza. Jane Campion for The Power of the Dog, because that got nominated for everything. Steven Spielberg for West Side Story.
Okay. And the odds are Jane Campion is a heavy favorite. Everybody else is a pretty long shot.
The thing is, when you get 12 nominations, clearly the director did something right.
Yeah, or you get 10 and the director isn't nominated.
Yeah, but Dune is nominated for most of the technical categories, so I would say that's a different case. That's a director's job. No, it's not. It's the, like, they might have the idea, but the people who do it masterfully are the...
the craftspeople.
Yes, exactly. Whereas I would say... if you have a bunch of acting nominations, you're more likely to get director. Acting and cinematography. If you have those, you're more likely to get director because it just, the vision is yours and you're the one who like nursed those performances out of the actors, basically.
Yeah, it's a collaboration. And yeah. I definitely think Jane Campion is going to win and is deserving. Like, I want her to win because that movie entirely works because of her.
It's like, funny because we haven't seen any of the other ones. So we're speaking out of our asses at this point.
Yes. And she's a heavy favorite, but like Steven Spielberg, come on, he's old, whatever. Like, fuck that dude. Kenneth Branagh, Belfast, I've heard good things about, haven't seen it. And I think the other two, Ryusuke Hamaguchi and Paul Thomas Anderson, are like, those movies are probably, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that a Paul Thomas Anderson movie was well directed. Don't shoot me. But like, that feels like, those feel like it's a pleasure to have been nominated, right? And also there's such like a narrative thing around the Oscars, and not to like make this strictly something that removes all credit from Jane Campion, because
no, feel free to shit on the Oscars.
Okay. Is that I think they will do this because they're like, look, we acknowledge women can make movies too, right? Like, even, I mean, if
Yeah, like we said, well, seven women have been nominated ever. Only seven.
And she, if you have seen The Piano, mm-hmm. that movie's incredible. Also,
two of the women that got nominated were last year. So it was five for the whole history.
No, there was only three
Academy.
Nominees last year.
Hmm?
There was only three nominees last year. Two movies that were not had Best Director nominations didn't have a director.
That's true.
It's the same thing. It's like, wow, Lady Bird didn't have a director. It got nominated for everything else, but I guess it didn't have a director.
No, Greta Gerwig was nominated for that.
For Lady Bird? No, she didn't get a nom for Lady Bird, did she?
Uh-huh.
She did? I thought she only got screenplay.
No, I think that was the fifth female nomination was Greta Gerwig.
Oh, well, that movie didn't have a director. Anyways, don't ruin my joke. How dare you? How dare you do this to me? But no, like, we haven't seen the other ones, but it's going to be Jane Campion, and it should be Jane Campion. And it's also, like, I'm a huge fan of everything she's ever made.
Mm-hmm.
And when a director at the level of Jane Campion makes a movie and knocks it out of the park like she does all the time,
mm-hmm.
like, she deserves one. And, like, I will say, it's like Steven Spielberg has had his turn, and, like, maybe West Side Story is incredible, but also, is it going to, like, I just can't see that, honestly.
It's weird,
right?
To,
like,
see a musical win for the big categories.
Yeah, and, like, again, like, Spielberg, like, I'm kind of, the thing that frustrates me with that is, like, he's only putting in theaters because he wants people to see it in theaters, and it just frustrates me to no end when directors do that.
Well, especially, like, we're in a pandemic, dude, sorry. Like,
yeah, like, Nolan with Tenet, and, like, the director who should be here, Denis Villeneuve, did that as well, but from his point of view is that he just wasn't included in the conversation, I think, is that he was not, like, he made this movie to be, and they all made these movies to be seen in theaters. And I get it. And they want their vision to be seen the way they want it to be seen. I am sympathetic to that viewpoint. But with Tenet, with Nolan and Spielberg, they were like, no, it has to be theaters. It's fine. You guys will be fine, right? Like, they're just, and partly it's like, maybe they're doing that to, like, help save the industry or whatever in their mind. But from, at least from my point of view, for Villeneuve stuff, is like, he was like, hey, it's fine where you want to watch it, but I made this movie to be seen in theaters. I would like you to see it in theaters. But if you don't want to, I understand. And he's like, but the reason why I'm upset about this is because the studio just did this without talking to me. They just made the decision for me. And,
well, it seems so exclusionary. Like, Spielberg being like, no, you must watch my musical on the big screen. You can't watch it anywhere else. That feels extremely exclusionary. Wouldn't you prefer people just saw your vision?
Yeah.
At, like, in any capacity, if they can't go to the theater, you know what I mean?
Them being so, like, restrictive on how they want you to see their movie is very much like, you must see it how I deem you can see it, because then you will like it. And it's like, no, dude, like, I watched Power of the Dog on my computer screen, and I fucking love that film.
Yeah.
And I watched Dune in theater on a big screen, and I also love that film. And I think they would equally work as well for me, regardless of the screen. Because if it's a good movie, it's a good movie regardless of how you watch it.
Yes, that is true. It's like, if you're relying way too heavily on just the visuals, then that's not a well-rounded movie.
No, exactly. And, like, there's certainly, like, you can say, being like, well, Dune should be seen on the biggest screen possible. Yes, because it is a movie that, like, is about the scope of what you see on the screen. And the big screen helps with that. But I found it still effective even I watched it on a small screen. And The Power of the Dog would be more effective on a big screen, probably, because you can't be distracted in that moment. Whereas on, but
yes,
it still
quiet
works.
Movies I find are good on the big screen.
But it should still be able to work at home. Like, if the movie's good enough, you'll fall into it regardless of what you're watching on it. And that's what frustrates me. And, like, it's hard, again, it's just hard to say because we haven't seen the other movies. And I guess that's where we end up. I want to save the Drive My Car stuff for Best Picture.
Works for me.
And it's weird to me that, it always happens to PTA that he releases a movie and everyone's like, this is great. And they are great. And then they're just completely forgotten at the Oscars all the time. And I don't know why it always happens to him. But, like, it feels like the last five movies he's released, I've been like, is this the one? And then it's like, nah, he's just lucky to get nominated. Like, what was the Phantom Thread? I really loved Phantom Thread.
But it's the movie no one saw.
I know. Is it because they always release at the end of December?
I think with Phantom Thread, it was hard to find. Like,
it was.
And
I didn't see it.
He did
after.
Licorice Pizza, right? Also really hard to find. So I think that's part of the problem.
Yeah, but Phantom Thread is so good.
but it's about a seamstress. So that was like, it was hard to find. And even if it was hard, if you could find it, people weren't like running out to go see it.
Yeah. So I'll quickly read the screenplay ones. Mm-hmm. Best original screenplay, Licorice Pizza. That will be what PTA wins because, mm-hmm. you know, congratulations on making a great movie. But here's your award. Belfast is the second favorite. Mm-hmm. Then I might be reading this wrong, but it says Don't Look Up got a screenplay nomination.
It did.
What? Fuck that film.
I think that's the only category it appears in, right?
No, we're getting to another one. King Richard and The Worst Person in the World, which is a foreign film, are both extreme long shots. Mm-hmm. Adapted screenplay, Power of the Dog is the heavy favorite. Coda, The Lost Daughter, Dune, and Drive My Car all have like similar odds, but Power of the Dog is going to win that one. If Power of the Dog only got one nominate, like one award other than director, I feel like this would be the one for sure.
Yeah, and I mean, when you're nominated for that many categories, you're usually going to win a couple, and yeah, screenplay's usually one of them.
Yeah, it's like cinematography, Dune is going to win cinematography. If you've seen mm-hmm. Dune is going to win cinematography because it's the most cinematography. It's deserving, but it's also the most.
Side note on cinematography, the second female ever to be nominated was nominated for cinematography for Power of the Dog this year.
So a movie didn't have a director or a cinematographer?
Exactly. Except it did because she was nominated.
That's insane. Well, I hope if that's the second favorite. So, you know, again, Power of the Dog could also just sweep. It could be they don't do that anymore and it won't mm-hmm. happen, but it could just. Yep. And then I just wanted to read the international films as well.
Of course.
Because we will watch. These are the movies that are most likely Carolina will also watch. I should also read the doc ones now that I think about it, because we do like watching those. But international, Drive My Car is the heavy favorite. The worst person in the world. Flea, which is also nominated in animated.
Documentary.
And documentary.
I think that's the first time that's ever happened as well, which is pretty cool.
Yes. Yeah, very cool. And it hopefully wins one of them. Probably won't be international. I feel like it has to. Yeah, and Lunana, A Yak in the Classroom.
I have so many questions.
You could tell me that whatever that is, and I would believe you.
That's the thing. I want to see it so bad because it sounds great.
That title is... Wow. Mm-hmm. Where are the doc thumbs?
I have them. I don't have them in order, but I can read them out. Yep. There is Ascension, Attica, Flea. Wow, this is a year with one-word titles. Except for this one, Summer of Soul, bracket, or When the Revolution Could Not Be Televised. That's the Questlove one.
Yeah, that movie's great.
And Writing with Fire, which is about female journalists in India, I believe, which sounds very interesting.
Mm-hmm. And the animated ones, real quick, are Encanto, Flea, Luca, The Mitchells versus the Machines, and Raya and the Last Dragon.
Yeah.
From all accounts, I haven't seen any of those. And from all accounts, those are all deserving nominees for that category. I bet a couple of them are probably better than the ones nominated for Best Picture, which are, I will read them in the order of the odds. Now, there are two that are essentially tied. And then there's a third that's close. And then everything else is a heavy long shot. And I'll read them in that order. So The Power of the Dog is the favorite, which I think is the right decision there. Mm-hmm. Belfast is right after it. Movie I haven't seen, but I'm excited to see.
It won the People's Choice at TIFF this year.
Oh boy, that makes me nervous.
No, that often means that it often means it has a chance to win Best Picture.
I know, but TIFF also picked Green Book.
Which won Best Picture.
Yes, I'm not. That's not what I was meaning by that. It wasn't like, wow, they nailed it. It was more of like, they also made a bad decision.
Mm-hmm.
West Side Story. And then all of these... That's in third. And all of these are plus 2,000 or worse, which is very long odds. Mm-hmm. Essentially, that means that it's like 200-1 chances to win. Mm-hmm. Drive My Car, Licorice Pizza, and Dune, all have the same odds. Mm-hmm. King Richard and Coda are right behind it. And then the two extreme long shots are... Sorry, I have got a lot of bile in my throat all of a sudden. Don't Look Up. God, my throat just got really tight. I think I'm going to die. And Nightmare Alley, which is a movie that I completely forgot existed until this moment.
I've seen Nightmare Alley.
You have?
I have.
How's Bradley?
very hateable.
Oh, weird. That's a, maybe I should watch that movie if he's willing to do that. I know it's a Guillermo del Toro film, and it has, I've heard, isn't that the one where, I've only heard about this film, but isn't that the one where Cate Blanchett's like not good in it?
Oh, I thought she was great in it.
Oh, okay. Never mind then.
And yeah, it's her and Rooney Mara as well is in it.
What? How does this movie not more of a thing? What happened to it?
It was quiet. Like, it was such a quiet release. If anything, I'll say production design is it's Guillermo del Toro, but like the production design is dope. The movie is really weird. Like, really
fuck
weird.
Yeah. Fuck yeah, Guillermo. And push, like, kind of cash it all in, buddy.
It's about circus, pardon my French, freaks, because it's about that. So it's really uncomfortable.
A man who cheats on women.
That's true too. Because it's based on the original, like, it was a book. Nightmare Alley was a book that was written a long, long time ago. So it's a movie that feels weird to watch in this day and age. But I mean, I enjoyed it, but I don't know that I enjoyed it at the time. I came out of it being like, the hell? So yeah.
But that movie is like, congratulations on getting 10th, really, is I think what that nomination means for it.
Yeah, I would say so.
And that, you know, hey, Guillermo, we loved your last movie. We also like this movie, even though it seems everybody forgot about it, but we didn't, buddy. Also, I think the actors probably helped that a lot. Bradley Cooper, Cate Blanchett, and Rooney Mara.
Yeah.
I have fucking no idea why Don't Look Up is nominated. That movie is bad and is terrible and sucks. Also, it's like the things that you could nominate from the movie that I'd be like kind of okay with were like the acting performances. And those didn't get recognized at all. So why is it here and in screenplay? Why is it here?
I honestly think like respect for the director, because he's always in the Academy Awards. That's the problem with the Academy Awards, is like people start to be mainstays in it.
He's made one good film.
The Big Short?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was nominated for like everything.
But his other two have been fine and then bad.
Yeah. I can't rationalize it to you.
No, that's your job. No. Coda, I'm glad it's there, but it's not the best movie of the year. It's good. King Richard is an actor movie.
Yeah.
Now we're into the interesting part. Like, I think those four, in some order, would be the bottom four. Mm-hmm. Now, you haven't seen Dune, and you know I like Dune, so therefore you hate Dune. Also, I don't think you're we've talked about Villeneuve films in the past, and other than Arrival, the movie of his that I don't like, Arrival, is the one you like. You're not a huge fan of his movies?
I mean, I get what he's doing, and I like that he does it. The problem is my attention span is very short, so these are the only types of movies that I would enjoy if I were watching them in theaters, because I get really distracted when I'm at home, like, not intentionally, I just do, and... I need like complete immersion in it, and then I get sucked in and I love it. Like Roma, I would not have enjoyed if I watched it at home. Loved it in the theaters.
Fair enough. I know I am a huge, like, I, other than Arrival, which I admit is a movie I should rewatch and is probably on me for disliking. Mm-hmm. And it's not even that I dislike it. I just didn't find it as good as everybody else said it did. I was like, that movie's fine, but I don't understand why everybody's like, this is one of the best movies I've ever seen in my life.
Okay, they can simmer down. I liked it a lot, but they can simmer down.
Yeah, I might have just missed it on that one. Maybe it was how I watched it in the experience, whatever. But I love every one of his other films that I have seen. Like, I think, with the exception of his first two, which are different movies, they're like tiny little art films when he was still in Canada. But I love his other films. And I know, and I understand that type of movie is like specifically made for me, because I'm an extremely visual learner in real life. And when I go see a movie in a theater, I want it to be as big and as loud as possible, because I'm a stupid man with a little boy brain. But I legitimately think Dune is one of the best movies of the year. And it works partly because of his direction on that. Mm-hmm. And that he takes this story that you can just tell that he loves so much and is adapting it to the screen. And it's this, it's like a movie that, like, I don't want to spoil it for people who haven't seen it, but it's like a movie that doesn't have a lot of talking in it, which I think people would not assume, because it's supposed to be like this like political epic, but it is really like, you understand everything that's going on in the movie because of the visuals in that film. And mm-hmm. it's why it's nominated for all the production stuff, and it should win a bunch of those, because there is so much character design work in the costume specifically that tell you who that person is immediately without them having to explain it to you. And it's one of the few blockbusters.
Show, don't tell.
Yeah, one of the few blockbusters that I watch that I feel like actually, and why I think Villeneuve's blockbusters are so good is because it's always show, don't tell. He's always like, he goes through, and he said this publicly, and he did this with Ryan Gosling on Blade Runner, where they go through and they eliminate lines of dialogue that the characters have to say that they feel is unnecessary. Because, and I agree with this, is that for the main character, they should say less as least as possible, because you want the audience to be attached to them.
Yeah.
And if that person is constantly talking and doing stuff there. And I just think it's like the visual storytelling in that movie is like so incredible. And it's just so much. And maybe it's because I hadn't seen a movie in like 2 years in a theater, and this is the only one I've seen in a theater since COVID started. It like I was like, this is legitimately the best movie I've seen this year. Until I watched Power of the Dog, but I like Dune more than Power of the Dog, even though Power of the Dog is a better movie. But
yeah, I mean, there's something to be said for like enjoyability, rewatchability, world building.
Yeah, and like if somebody had told me like Dune is 2 hours and 40 minutes, and it didn't feel like it when I watched it in a theater. If somebody had told me the second part it's really long. I'm sorry. If somebody told me the second part was available right now and it's in that theater, I would have immediately walked into that theater and watched another 2 hour and 40 minute movie. And I wanted to watch Dune again immediately when it was done. And the only other movie that I've seen this year that made me feel that way was Power of the Dog, where I was like, mm-hmm. I could sit down and watch this movie again right now because it's that good. We'll talk about Dune when Carolyn is forced to watch it, because that's soon. And I'm very excited for that conversation. Cause now that I said that I love the film.
Soon. At this point, a lot of them are going to have to be soon.
True. Licorice Pizza. Who knows when we'll see that movie, if we see that movie.
I don't even know that it'll come out to be available.
I doubt it. I don't think it will either. His other ones didn't, right? They came out after. Now Drive My Car.
Yes.
I legitimately think this movie can win.
Which is interesting because it's only been nominated for four categories.
Yes.
Directing, international feature, and screenplay.
Yes.
But the screenplay nomination is basically mandatory to win Best Picture.
Yes. If you're not there, it's a big sign that you have no chance to win.
Yeah. AKA Nightmare Alley. Goodbye.
Yes. Goodbye. So Drive My Car. When I first heard about this film was around, I guess, November of last year, because that's when we start hearing about like the good international features that come over. And it is based off of a Murakami short story. And I love Hideki Murakami. He's one of my favorite authors. And this previous film that was a short story that was adapted was Burning. It's by a different director, but Burning was the best movie I saw the year it came out, and it blew me away. It captured the Murakami essence of his writing in the film. And by all accounts, this movie does as well. But Drive My Car has won a lot of, with Power of the Dog, has won a bunch of critic awards for stuff. So now I'm sorry, Carolyn, Drive My Car is 3 hours long. And it's about a guy who doesn't drive a car.
It sounds like Driving Miss Daisy, but like Miss Daisy's the one driving.
Yeah, but it's Murakami, so it's not going to be that. And I don't want to say anything because I know a bit about the story, and I don't want to spoil stuff because I think it will be better served if you know going in as least as possible, as least as you possibly can. But the reason why I think it can win is, and this isn't like a Parasite phenomenon. Like I think both of us were pretty confident that Parasite was going to win Best Picture going into the Oscars that year.
Yeah.
Because it was the best movie nominated. It wasn't the best movie of the year. The best movie of the year wasn't nominated, unfortunately.
What movie?
Oh, Portrait of a Lady on Fire, excuse me.
Ah, yes.
That movie is one of the best movies I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
And I love Parasite, but please, Portrait of a Lady on Fire is another level.
Yes.
And I just think Drive My Car, and I think as the Oscars have expanded their base and made it more diverse and more international, and there are lots of people in the Oscars who I think would vote like I would vote. They're pretentious shitheads. And I think Drive My Car is going to hit there. And it legitimately is probably, and we haven't seen it, so this is me just guessing, but it's equal to The Power of the Dog on quality. And I'm pretty sure Jane Campion is going to win Best Director. And when is the last time the director and picture odds have been, picture winner has been the same? Parasite, when?
It used to always be the same.
Yeah, but then it split until Parasite, but it was different last year, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. It was. And I just feel like if she wins director, Power of the Dog isn't going to win picture. Mm-hmm. And honestly, the ones that think of me, mainly because I'm thinking of like, what's the narrative story here, is Nightmare Alley, Don't Look Up, Coda, King Richard, Licorice Pizza, West Side Story, like not there, honestly, in my opinion. Like they have no narrative story with them.
Mm-hmm.
Dune, Drive My Car, and Belfast kind of do. Belfast, I just don't know because I haven't seen the film.
Yeah, I know nothing about Belfast.
I know nothing about it, but like Dune and Drive My Car feel like Dune, the whole thing of being like, why wasn't Villeneuve nominated, right? That could be like the narrative thing. Drive My Car has like, it wasn't like, 2 weeks ago, nobody expected to get any nominations, and now it has three.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, is this going to be like a thing where it's like, as more and more people watch that movie, like, is it going to build up? Or are they just going to be like, here's the international award and leave?
Yeah.
It seems wild to me, and maybe this is me just because of recent history, is like, I just don't see Power of the Dog winning director and picture. I think it's one or the other.
It is interesting. So I was reading this Vanity Fair article about like how Drive My Car, it's called like how the Drive My Car surge happened, basically. And they're saying, like, they pointed out that Bong Joon-ho pointed out before the Parasite win that the Oscars are very local, which is true. Mm-hmm. Like, I so love it.
He's
local.
So good. I love that man.
but they're saying with the 2022 group of movies, there's multiple nominations for Parallel Mothers, The Worst Person in the World, Flea, and Drive My Car, which is – that's not normally the case. It's normally like one movie like Parasite like sweeps the categories and all the other ones just remain in international where they belong. And
the subby section.
Exactly. And what's interesting about it is this article was basically saying – it's crazy that this is the movie that's being embraced because it's a 3-hour movie.
it is. That's wild.
Yeah, it's – yeah. And it is – there's only four movies that have been nominated for Best Picture, Director, and Screenplay, and it's one of those four.
Mm-hmm.
And then it also gets the international nod as well. But yeah, so it's really interesting. I think it is a case of the Academy is getting more open, more diverse, and they're also saying that it is probably attributed to like widespread critical support. Same with when Ruth Negga and Lady Gaga were winning in the past and stuff like that. It's like, and this is what I was saying, when people see the movie and people start talking about the movie, that's when it starts doing better. Mm-hmm. So Paul Thomas Anderson needs to let his movies come out, I must say. But
yes, please, dude, put them out in November. Like, I'm asking is a month more.
Mm-hmm.
And all, and what we should say, I'll make a small correction. Nomadland won both last year as well, but I forgot about that because that movie's bad. that yeah. With the Oscars Best Picture voting is the only one that category does this. We say this every year, but it is. You need 50% of the votes to win. So it's ranked choice voting. Mm-hmm. So until one movie hits more than 50% of the votes as they drop movies off, that's what will be the winner. So that's where it's like, if Drive My Car or Power of the Dog is everybody's like ones and twos or something, we don't know. But if Drive My Car has a bunch of people's ones and then Power of the Dog or the other movies are like all over the place,
mm-hmm.
but Drive My Car is like consistently like within the top four for everybody, it might end up getting the 50% first because it's the most well-liked movie. Like, mm-hmm. I also just fucking release the vote totals, please. Just put them out so we can see what happened.
Yeah.
But that's like my guess on some years is like, why did Moonlight beat La La Land? Because I bet Moonlight was like consistently in people's like top three.
Whereas people loved or hated La La Land.
So it was like all, like that's kind of the split there. And by the way, the Oscars got that one right. and it feels like they're on a thing where it's like they get it right one year and then they get it wrong the next year, then they get it right and then they get it wrong. Now, if this honestly comes down to like Drive My Car or The Power of the Dog, I don't think there's a wrong choice with either of those films. I haven't seen Drive My Car, but mm-hmm. even if it's just like, yeah, they gave it to this like small Japanese film, it'd be like, yeah, that's cool as hell. They should do that all the time.
One really interesting thing this Vanity Fair article said was that Omicron probably had a huge impact on mm-hmm. them becoming more liked, because yep. basically in-person screenings were canceled, but there was like a lot of links being sent out to watch the screeners. But it's really, really hard for an international film to get to the same level of press and in-person campaigning, because they can't be there unless they stay in town, which Parasite apparently did. They stayed in town for a few months to just like campaign. Whereas a lot of international films can't do that. They have other projects and they don't live here, so they have to go back home. But all of these, the like Oscar race and the campaigning was all moved online. So that means that they could do it too. So basically, Omicron is helping out international films this year.
It is. And if that's like that's like one of the few good things this virus has done.
helped out Drive My Car.
Also, the director of Drive My Car also had another film come out this year as well. He released two movies this year.
Busy boy.
He's a busy boy. And it's out of the movies that we haven't seen left that are left, it's my most anticipated movie. I really, really want to see Drive My Car. And I can't wait to make you watch a 3-hour movie about a dude who can't drive a car. It's just, it seems like the thing you'll hate the most in the world and that I'll love. And then again, I just have no, I don't even like know what Belfast is. That's the thing. I just don't know. But we'll watch that one. But anyway, we'll save our picks for later after we've seen the movies, and then you'll know the correct choices for each category mm-hmm. when Carolyn and I pick them. But we can already tell you.
We actually have actual our own opinions rather than just what we know of things.
Yeah, but Kay Stew's the correct pick for Best Actress. That's already 100%. Decided. It's locked in stone.
Yes.
Like granite. But what do we want to watch for next time? I have a little doc open, seeing what's available. And oh, look, none of the main ones are available.
Yeah, except Dune. Yes, Dune is available. That is it of the best pictures. I mean, Belfast and King Richard are available for not a pretty price.
No, they're not. But they should be going down soon.
In theory. Being the Ricardos is available.
Okay. Let me look at this. I think we should do Dune for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've been wanting to do it for a while, and I will 1,000% watch Dune again and sing along with the soundtrack of just the whole time. I nailed that. That's exactly what it sounds like. And then
of international, I think the God one is available.
What's on Netflix?
The God one?
Yeah.
Yeah. And of documentary, Summer of Soul and Attica are both available.
Dune and Summer of Soul.
I'm into it
because Summer of Soul is like a music doc, so that will be good. It as is, well.
Yeah.
And it's on Disney Plus, and Dune is available on. It's Cinebox. Available for rent.
Yeah, but for a reasonable price.
Yeah, it was. It's no longer on HBO Max. If you're in the States, it's been removed. So it's only available for rentals now. Let me just make sure Dune isn't on streaming things now. Because it might be for in Canada for us, like on Crave or something.
Mm-hmm.
That would fit. Let me just check it for you specifically to say.
Because you've seen it.
Yeah, I love Dune. I'll watch Dune again. Hell yeah. I'll watch a 2-hour and 40 minute again. Crave's search isn't working, so this is making this difficult.
I think it's still not available, but it's available to rent for like $7 in a lot of places.
$6.99.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, $6.99. Why is it $6.99? What happened?
I don't know.
Cineplex is usually a $5.99. What are they? This isn't fair. Also, Dune has my favorite actress, Zendaya, so.
I hear she's hardly in it, though.
She's going to be in the second one. Also, if anybody has been watching Euphoria, I have one thing to play for you. 1 second, please.
I have not seen Euphoria.
Euphoria is a great television show. That shit is wild as fuck. let me just open up my phone messaging. I have to find it. I've been sending this to people. I may or may not have made this a sound alert on my stream because it makes me laugh every single time I hear it.
Of course.
I'm sorry, I'm a man of quality and taste. So
I don't know if I'd agree with that, but
my humor is impeccable. Okay, here it is. Let me just make sure that I'm going to crank my phone up, and then I'm going to play it through my phone. One sec, here you go.
Please, put your penis away.
No.
Kyle, I'm not going to ask you again. Put your penis away.
I am who I am.
Man, I've had those days.
I love it so much. That's for all. If anybody's watched Euphoria, you know what that's from. And I feel I like that's a good way to. I am. Cal, put your penis away. No, I'm not going to ask you again. No, I am who I am. It's so good. It's so good. God.
James, where can they find you?
You can find me in that lovely TikTok that I've taken from some wonderful human who clipped that. at everywhere on the internet at James Willix, except on Twitter, where the O is zero, and you can find Carolyn
at CarolynDunk93 on everything.
Yeah, and we'll be doing Dune and Summer of Soul bracket, whatever's in the bracket. I forgot.
Or the revolution could not be televised.
Okay, thank you. That's what we'll be doing for the next one next week. Indeed. Also, put your penis away.